So the purpose of a sermon is to offer some words, some commentary, maybe some instruction related to what we've encountered in the scripture. But I think we've already kind of done that, right? I think the witness of the young people who are confirmands and their selection of particular scriptures and particular reflections on their own faith commitments is truly really important. And so I prepared about 45 minutes of a sermon. No. In fact, in the podcast this week, I said, I'm going to give you my world-famous five-minute sermon. But I lied. I don't know how long this will take, but just a few moments. So put the countdown on the screen. No, I'm kidding. But I want to talk to you just a moment about the scripture that you just heard. Which is from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, when I was growing up, the song was, Jeremiah was a
bullfrog.
Thank you very much, you know that. Jeremiah was not actually a bullfrog, he was a human being. Actually, he was a prophet and a person who was speaking for God and spoke for God into a community that was a total mess, okay? Total freaking mess, okay? I said that, right? Because you need to know just how much of a mess it was. It was such a mess that the people who had been, people who had, historically been very faithful had decided, we're going to figure this out on our own. In fact, the moral and ethical and religious standards that God had kind of like given us and sort of handed us, we got it. And in the midst of people becoming kind of like, we will make up our own rules and we will kind of follow whatever kind of seems right and feels right, they found themselves in one of the most morally corrupt times when and it played itself out where the poor, people who were on the margins, people who were immigrants and widows and orphans were on the outside of things, they were really in a terrible place, and they were suffering the consequences of it as part of the life that they were living. And so here comes Jeremiah, who was not a bullfrog, right? Can I get an amen on that? Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. But Jeremiah comes and says, this is wrong, and there's coming a consequence to that. Now, in that particular time and in that particular moment, it was a foreign power that was going to come and invade. It was said, God's going to send these people just to kind of like reboot the whole thing because you're such a mess. So the words that we hear from Jeremiah come in the context of everything being like a total mess. Of course, we don't have total messes in airtime, do we? No, we're all good, right? You feeling all good? No, we're kind of working our way through our own kind of periods of mess. But what is important and what I think is really the word for today is what you just heard that went along with these consequences are coming. And you are out of line to the people. And some of those words could be said to us now as Christians, as people. Some of those words could be said to us now. But also the words that we just heard read, which is, I have a plan for you. I hope you heard those words because they were not words of like, oh, and I'm just going to pile on the negative. I'm going to pile on the punishment that comes, the reboot and the disruption to you people for this. No, I know the plans I have for you, plans for peace. Plans for peace. A plan that is hopeful. And what we know from the history of this is that certainly there was an exile that came. There was a time when the people, because of their heartbreaking disconnection from what was ethical, right, just, and true within their religious understanding. Because of that, things happened. And there was an exile that came. People were marched out of their lives. And the time frame that is put in the scripture is 70 years. Okay, so that's a, you know, that's a lifetime for some of us. And you think about this, for people at that time, there are not a lot of people that are living 70 years. So that's multiple generations, right? Still, I have plans for you. Let me read this to you one more time. Not because it was read poorly before. I thought you read it really great. Thank you very much for that. But let me just make sure that you hear this. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. The plans for peace, not disaster. To give a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me with all your heart. Not like, hey, I'm going to go kind of like, you know, see if this prayer thing works. Right. When you invest in trying to connect with the Lord God says, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord. I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where you were scattered, and I will bring you home after the long exile, says the Lord. Now, we find ourselves in unique places right now, but maybe they're not so unique. We find ourselves in particular moments where we are still invited to seek God with our heart. I mean, to invest in it, not just a casual sort of thing, but to kind of develop that relationship, to dig into that, and to move forward. And the plans that God has is not for, oh, well, I guess they did their best. Now, the plan for the mothers in the room, for the children of mothers in this room, maybe not having experienced perfection, but still, the plan is for peace. The hope that may take 70 years is for peace and for life. So for the young people that were just confirmed, that's the plan. For the youth that are in this room that are facing a vastly different world than what I faced when I was 18, still, without knowing all the details, the Lord God can still look at us all and say, I have plans for you. In fact, I've dreamed about what could happen in your life. God's dream. For us as a church, as a faith community, as we kind of face some uncertainties, like what will happen next or where will we be and that sort of thing, the Lord says, I have a plan for you. Now, the important thing in this is to hold on to that, to believe in that, to trust in that, but to not get distracted. Because getting distracted, getting pulled off into like the, oh, I want to do it my way, oh, they say we should do it this way. Oh, I think this is, what we heard before, that's not really, I don't see the fruit of that. I don't see the consequences of that. Let's just set that aside. That's what got them in trouble in the first place, is setting aside what was right and what was good. So I know it's hard. And I know there are questions and decisions to be made in the midst of all that. Find a way to stick God into the middle of that and trust in what is possible. Otherwise, we just kind of like make it up as we go along and get distracted. So, not the, you know, to the young people in the room, there's a lot more to come. To the older people in the room, I don't want to say older people, to the more seasoned people in the room, there's a lot more to come. And I invite you to consider the horizon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.